Barrett Salee, who covers the SEC, covers college football for CBSSports.com. You can find his college football picks each week at Sportsline.com. Barrett, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing really well. I'm curious, no Nick Saban on the sideline. Alabama's a huge favorite. Does that make it any more interesting to you this weekend with the Iron Bowl, with Alabama and Auburn?
A little, just to see what Sark and the rest of that crew does. But, you know, I think if there's a team that can handle this, not just it's Bama, not because, you know, of the tradition and the history of Bama, but they've gone through this before. They basically had a dress rehearsal where, you know, Saban was out for, what was it, 3 days, and they didn't know that he was actually going to be able to coach against Georgia until that Saturday morning. So if it was a surprise and the team had to scramble, it would be a little different, especially a team, even a team like Bama. But Sark has already prepared for this. He prepared for this, what, a month and a half ago. So I'm not terribly concerned. In-game management, okay, you know, Sark's going to have to be a little, you know, be a little smart about things. But let's be honest. I mean, I was thinking about this driving up to Thanksgiving. What's Nick Saban's weakness? It's in-game management, right? Like, it's in-game coaching in terms of timeouts and when to make plays and thinking, you know, two steps ahead. You know, a lot of times in terms of just general game management, that's where Nick Saban struggles. Look back to the first half of the Iron Bowl last year. Look back to the very end of the Iron Bowl last year. Look back to the Kings. I mean, there's instances of that. So I don't think it's going to matter all that much.
Wouldn't it be just wonderfully ironic, though, because Alabama is so much, oh, somebody's out, somebody graduated, whatever, let's just put another five-star plug and play, let's get another former head coach and put him in as a coordinator or an analyst. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if Nick Saban was not replaceable and they couldn't have as much success without him on the sideline?
It would be definitely interesting. I'm just disappointed that we're not getting interim head coach Butch Jones for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, that just seems like something that should happen. But no, that's part of the reason why they have that massive staff is to cover every single base. I'm not sure they really expected to cover this base before the season, or, you know, when they just generally hire all those people. But you know, they hire all those folks for a specific attention to detail, and this is a. This is a detail that they, I wouldn't say are prepared for, but certainly are prepared to handle a little bit.
Barrett Salee is with us from CBSSports.com. Barrett, it's another Friday where I ask you about Tennessee in the position that it's in with another loss by double digits off this week because of schedule shuffling. But any updated thoughts there on Tennessee with Florida around the corner? And I guess the quarterback, of course, factors into that conversation each week with Tennessee.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's a lost season. You know, I think Harrison Bailey should be the guy. Just let him rip. Let him see what happens. It's not going to get that much worse than Jared Garantano on his worst day. And let him learn. You know, I mean, you're preparing for the future at this point if you're Tennessee, and everybody knows it. So if that's the case, then properly prepare for the future and let Harrison Bailey in. You know, let some of the younger guys play. You know, still try to win games, but do it in a responsible way so you're prepared for the future. And understand that this, you're building depth because this is a free year. Not all these guys that are seniors have to leave. So, you know, you can do a whole lot of good by building your depth this year with some younger guys so you get the offseason, assuming it's a relatively normal offseason, and have, you know, real competitive battles in camp. And that culture of competition, you know, gets taken up a notch. So I would just chalk it up as a lost season. And while that sometimes is hard to accept in normal seasons and players are, you know, reluctant to accept that if you're a junior or senior, you can come back. You know, you can come back and try to build something special.
Barrett, I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it anyway. Just how high are the hurdles this coaching staff has in front of them to close out over the next 2.5 weeks, the early signing period, when that'll start, to make sure there's not several decommitments? They had one earlier today, as Josh noted. Just what does the next 2.5 weeks look like, not only for preparing for the last three games of the season, but also the recruiting hurdles with that early signing period looming?
Well, I have no evidence. Honestly, I haven't paid too much attention to all the recruiting, but to me, just rational thought and common sense would suggest that the early signing period is not going to be what it was last year and the year before that, where it basically is the signing period. There have been no visits. It's been a dead period for, 6 months now, 7 months now? We have a dead period through March. You haven't had any of these kids on campus. All you've been doing is phone calls. If you're a coach, you've been in the middle of coaching a season in a pandemic when your every day is a different challenge. To me, this early signing period is going to be what it was supposed to be when it was created, and that is a chance for the guys who absolutely know they want to go somewhere to sign with the coaches who absolutely know which guys they want to get, and that's going to be a very small number for all those reasons combined. So I get that there's some sort of sense of panic, and a lot of fans are frustrated because, in Tennessee's case, they're losing some guys, or, classes are too small or whatever. It's going to be a sign of things to come. I think a lot of coaches are going to look at players and say, all right, we're going to have to delay this. I don't even really know you. I haven't seen you play. You have to, all that stuff combined. It's impossible to make decisions like that. It's just impossible if you're a coach, and it's reckless and irresponsible on both sides if you start setting things in stone before you really have a chance to look into to all the options, all the different players, and all the variables that are out there.
Hey, Barrett, what have you figured out about the South Carolina opening now that it's been about 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, since the search began, in what is a very different type of year to be leading a search?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very desirable job. Scott Satterfield has been mentioned. Take everything with a grain of salt, but, I think it's fair to assume that there was at least some interest there. And that's always could be agent-driven or whatever, but it's a desirable job. I think you've seen coaches gunning for it. Obviously, Hugh wants it. Jamie Chadwell reportedly interviewing for it, I think, is really, really interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if, Sark, especially, if he has success in the Iron Bowl, becomes one of the top candidates. People want that job. It's not just because it's an SEC job. It's because if you do things right, it's a very stable SEC job. And really, all you got to do is be competitive to do things right and appease the administration. So, I would imagine you're going to start seeing a lot of movement over the course of the next couple of weeks, because I think South Carolina, in theory, wants to have somebody in for the early signing period, because, again, you can't account for what that might be. But I can't see them making a quick decision, because I just can't see coaches jumping at an opportunity in what is the middle of the season. So if I'm still making bets, I still think it's going to be Hugh Freeze. But the name Scott Satterfield being mentioned and some others certainly raises a few eyebrows and sort of indicates just how desirable that job is.
What does a coaching search look like right now? I know that all the rumors get fired up. Are ADs having to go through COVID protocols and get COVID tests before they can either hop on their private jets to go try and meet with some agents or meet with some people offsite? Is it all via Zoom? I mean, that's kind of a fascinating underbelly of just trying to find a coach during this year.
Yeah, from what I've been told, pretty much everything is Zoom as of right this very second, just because there are, so many different moving parts, and a lot of these coaches are preparing for games and, all that stuff. So I've heard that it's all Zoom. Will that change? It might change.